welcome.
All right. Actually, this can you turn this mic on? Am I on? All right. Good morning. With my back to you, sorry. How's everybody this morning? Oh, no. Sorry about that. Let's get this over here. That's heavy. How you doing this morning? Good. Awesome. Well, as some of you know, Laura and I work with Bridges for Peace. Who of those of you, I know some of you know, who doesn't know about Bridges for Peace? Anybody? You all know about Bridges for Peace? Well, I'm going to tell you even more this morning. Is that awesome or what? Is that the most exciting thing you've ever heard today yet so far? No. So, Bridges for Peace, Laura and I are regional representatives with Bridges for Peace, working primarily in the Chicago area. And together, Laura and I, well, not together, actually separately and together, Laura and I have more than 30 years experience working with the Jewish people in Israel and studying about that and working with the communities. So what exactly is Bridges for Peace? Well, this is the old mission statement. They've revised it. It's a little bit more, the new one's a little bit more concise. However, I like this old one because it's more descriptive and it tells more exactly what we're going, what we do. So here's the old one, and please don't tell our leaders that I shared the old one with you, okay? It'll be all right. So Bridges for Peace is an international Christian organization supporting Israel in building bridges between Christians and the Jewish people worldwide through education and practical deeds expressing God's love and mercy. That's pretty descriptive, isn't it? So there's two main things, education and practical deeds. So I would like to ask a question to you, the church today. Why do we need an organization like Bridges for Peace? Why do we need an organization like that? Well, I believe that the answer lies in our mission statement, what I just quoted to you. The first one is building bridges through education. All right, that's our first arm, is education, okay? There is a tremendous amount of disinformation about Israel and the Jewish people in the church today. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that it was pandemic. It's been our experience in the 30 years that we've been involved with Jewish people in Israel that we have experienced that. And I'm going to take a moment right now just to explain our publications, and then I want to read some things to you. But on the back table over there, we have our little display. Just so you know, everything, as you're facing the table, everything on the left side is free. And the things on the right side, we ask a donation for. And I'm going to talk about those things, and I'll tell you about them right now, just so you can understand what our publications are and how we educate in the church. So the first thing I want to talk about, let me get it all up here, is our dispatch from Jerusalem. And this is the current issue, and you can get a copy of this back there. And this is a full-color, 36-page full-color bi-monthly publication that features pertinent news and stories about Israel. And you'll find it very interesting. And by the way, any of these publications, aside from the books, but this and the other things I'm going to talk about, you will find on our website, which is another source of our education, bridgesforpeace.com. Very simple. All of these teaching letters, which I will mention in a minute, and these dispatch from Jerusalem, are archived on our website, and you could read them all there if you'd like. So please avail yourself to any. There's two different versions of this. There's the current issue, and we also have the kind of a general issue that's not dated. So you can have one of those. We also have what we call our Israel teaching letters, which is an in-depth study shedding light on biblical aspects of our faith from our Hebrew roots. And there's a number of these. This one is called The Scriptural Basis for Supporting Israel. Okay, you could find different ones back there. We've got like two or three different versions of this. Again, these are also archived on the website if you'd like one of those. And some of the other things, if you want to know all about our projects, which I'm going to describe to you later, this brochure here, which is over there, explains all of our about our publications and about our projects that we're doing in Israel. So what's going to happen is I'm going to talk a little bit, then Laura's going to get up and talk, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to talk about all these projects that we're doing in Israel. If you're a young person between the ages of 18 and 30 and you'd like to go volunteer in Israel or go on one of the tours, we have a ministry called Zealous 8-2. It's based on the scripture from Zechariah 8:2. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. So if you fall in that age range, which I know some of you do, and you'd be interested in going to Israel and volunteering, spending a year there or longer, helping out with the ministry that we do over there, you can find the information here in this little brochure, which is also on the back table. If you'd like to know more and even get a sample subscription to these publications, we have connection cards back there. And if you can just fill this out, and please, if you do fill one of these out, don't mail it. Please hand it to either Laura or myself, okay, or me. And then we'll take care of that and get that sent in for you. All righty? Excellent. Now, for some of the books that we publish, let me start with our flagship book, which is this. It's called Israel and the Church, God's Roadmap. And this is a book that has a number of articles that are written by Bridges for Peace leaders. And it's really an in-depth biblical look at understanding God's plan and how Israel and the church fit together to accomplish what God has planned in the world. Okay? We ask a suggested donation of $20 for this book. Another book you might be interested in if you like devotionals, this is a relatively new book. It's called Sinai Speaks, and it is a Christian devotional that covers or looks at the Torah portions that the Jewish people read each week in the synagogue, but it's written from a Christian perspective by Dr. Jim Solberg, who is our USA National Director, and that's a donation of $15 for that. But if you'd like to get one of these, they're on the back table. And if for some reason all these books go like hotcakes, and we don't have enough here, we have more at home, so you can contact us. But you can also order them off the website if you'd like. How many of you know or have ever heard the name Chaim Soloman? Nobody? I hadn't heard of him either. But Chaim Soloman was a Jewish man who was very wealthy through his business endeavors and helped to fund the American Revolution with his own fortune. And we have a little book about him. It's called The Forgotten Patriot. He actually was friends with George Washington and used his own money to help fund the American Revolution. How do you like that? I never heard of him before either until you don't read about, or you don't learn about him in history school or in history class in school, do you? I never did. But it's very interesting who this man was. What's that? You mean in history class in school? Yeah. Right. So this $10 suggested donation for that if you'd like to learn more about Chaim Soloman. If you're ever going to go to Israel, you don't have to go to Israel to get this. This is an Israel tour journal. It's kind of a devotional, and it covers all these significant biblical places in Israel, and a little devotional there in place for notes with really pretty pictures you can look at there. You pick up one of these. This is 15 as well, I think, a donation. That's cool. And if last but not least, second to last, are you a prayer warrior? You somebody who likes to pray? Well, this is a book you can pick up. It is called For Zion's Sake, I Will Not Be Silent. It's a scripture guide to praying for Israel. So it has places to make notes and has scripture in there as well and some stuff. If you like to pray and you like to journal like that and pray specifically for Israel, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, this will be a great aid for you to help you to do that. So, again, I think that's $15 donation. And then the last one by our international president and CEO, Rebecca Brimmer. It's called Hebraic Roots 101. It's kind of a Reader's Digest version of that first one I showed you, Israel and the Church, God's Roadmap, if you'd like to know a little bit more about your Hebrew roots. And I will, since I'm mentioning Rebecca Brimmer, who is our international CEO and president, she and her husband are on a tour right now called Direct from Jerusalem. Right now they're in Florida, I believe. I think we have, look at that. Isn't that amazing? There she is and her husband. Her husband, Tom, is a registered tour guide in Israel. And they're going to be here in this area coming up in September. We're starting in September 14th. We're having a meeting with all of our Jewish friends that Laura and I have with Bridges for Peace Chicago to meet her and other Bridges leaders. And then we're having a huge fundraiser where Bridges for Peace has invited some very large Christian donors. And we're trying to raise at least $1 million to rescue the B'nai Menasseh, the sons of Manasseh, who are a tribe of Israel, who are kind of stranded in India. And so we're trying to do that. And then after that fundraising event, Laura and I are going to be traveling with Becky and Tom, and we're going to be going to a number of meetings. We're going to Carbondale. We're going to, where else? Bloomingdale? Champaign? Bloomington. Champaign, not the drink, but the town. And then Rochelle. And then what's the date she's going to be here? Can you pull that? Can you scroll that up a little bit? We're having a little private meeting here, which you can come to if you'd like, but you must respond. You must, you know, RSVP, because we need to know how much food to prepare. We're at the home of Debbie and Rick Leininger. I don't know if any of you know them. So they're going to be hosting them. Scroll up. Down. There we go. Keep going. Ah, there it is. Right there. Rick and Debbie Leininger share a meal with BFP International President and CEO Reverend Rebecca Brimmer and hear an update about Israel, the Middle East, and the role of the church and how Bridges for Peace is rescuing the B'nai Menasseh, a lost tribe of Israel. That'll be in Freeport. And you'll get if you do register, you'll get the address of where that's going to be. And there's a phone number there if you'd like to, you can talk to us. We'll give you that phone number if you can't read that. All right, so it's a really exciting time. Laura and I are going to be traveling around and spending time with Tom and Becky. So the question is, we have all these publications, and I talked about disinformation in the church, right? So where does this disinformation come from? Well, it comes from a lot of sources, but one of the main ones I would like to share with you this morning is, unfortunately, that many of the early church fathers were very anti-Semitic. And most people don't even know about this. These were men who formulated the Christian teachings that still exist and influence the church today. And I want to read to you some of the things that they said. And I just want to warn you, it's not very pretty. And there's a bunch of them on here, but I'm going to read to you just from four of these church fathers. And you could read about these guys, of course, online, or there's, ironically enough, a book published by Moody Press, where I went to school, Moody Bible Institute, published this book called Great Leaders of the Christian Church. And when you hear some of the things they said, you might question that word great there. I do. And it's actually very sad that we have this kind of a heritage, because these things which you're about to read, or you're about to hear, that I'm going to read to you, actually produced a lot of sorrow and horror for the Jewish people. So the first one comes from a man by the name of Justin Martyr. Have you heard of Justin Martyr? Yep. So he was born in the year 100. So he's not alive anymore. But he was born in the year 100, and he wrote a book called Dialogue with Trifo. And Trifo was a fictional Jewish man, and this book was to show the world or people how Christianity is now the new law and has replaced Judaism. And let me read to you a quote from that. This is Justin Martyr speaking. We too would observe your circumcision of the flesh, your Sabbath days, and in a word, all your festivals, if we were not aware of the reason why they were imposed upon you, namely because of your sins and the hardness of your heart. The custom of circumcising the flesh handed down from Abraham was given to you as a distinguishing mark, to set you off from all other nations and from us Christians. The purpose of this was that you and only you might suffer the afflictions that are now justly yours, that only your land be desolated and your cities ruined by fire, that the fruits of your land be eaten by strangers before your very eyes, that not one of you be permitted to enter your city of Jerusalem. Your circumcision of the flesh is the only mark by which you can certainly be distinguished from other men. As I stated before, it was by reason of your sins and the sins of your fathers that, among other precepts, God imposed upon you the observance of the Sabbath as a mark. Now, if you know anything about why, from the scriptures, why God gave the Jewish people the festivals and circumcision and the Sabbath, you would know that what this man says here is so anti-biblical, in my opinion, from the pits of hell. It does not follow the scripture at all. He displays an ignorance of the scriptures. Another one, Origen of Alexandria. Have you heard of Origen? Another theologian. He was born in 185, about 85 years after Justin Martyr. And this is something that he said. We may thus assert in utter confidence that the Jews will not return to their earlier situation, for they have committed the most abominable crimes in forming this conspiracy against the Savior of the human race. Hence, the city where Jesus suffered was necessarily destroyed, and the Jewish nation was driven from its country, and another people was called by God to the blessed election. So this actually kind of started the whole concept of that the Jewish people were the Christ killers. You may have heard that. I'll give you one short experience that I had. When Laura and I were working in the United Kingdom, we were doing a little summer ministry outreach in a town called Leeds, which is up in York. Is it in Yorkshire? Leeds? Yeah. We were in a place called Roundhay Park. Do you know Roundhay Park? Yeah, so Andrew knows Roundhay Park. So we were just going around, and a lot of Jewish people are in this park, and we were just going around trying to meet people and talk, Jewish people, and talk to them. And I was with this young girl from Poland, I believe, and I had just taught some of this stuff, and we meet this elderly couple who are there, elderly Jewish couple, who are there at the park with their grandchild. And we began to talk to them and tell them who we were and what we were doing. And the lady, the grandmother, she just started saying to me over and over again, if Christians would just stop calling us the Christ killers, if Christians would just stop calling us the Christ killers, if Christians would just stop calling us the Christ killers. So you might not hear that in your experience in life, but they are very aware of it. And that just brought home to me that this is still a reality to them. It's still a reality to them. All right, two more. One is John. The next one is John Chrysostom. Have you heard of John Chrysostom? He lived at 344 to 407 A.D., and he was one of the greatest church fathers, known as the Golden Mouth, a missionary preacher famous for his sermons and addresses. And listen to what he says. The synagogue is worse than a brothel. It is the den of scoundrels and the repair of wild beasts. The temple of demons devoted to idolatrous cults, the refuge of brigands and debauchees, and the cavern of devils. It is a criminal assembly of Jews, a place of meeting for the assassins of Christ, a house worse than a drinking shop, a den of thieves, a house of ill fame, a dwelling of iniquity, the refuge of devils, a gulf and an abyss of perdition. I would say the same things about their souls. As for me, I hate the synagogue. I hate the Jews for the same reason. Is that strong or what? This is one of the great leaders of the Christian church. I don't think he's exemplifying what's in the Bible and what Jesus taught. Do you? I don't think so. And the last one I want to read to you, and this is kind of a lengthy one, but I think it's important because this individual is honored as somebody who is really great in the church. Actually, he's considered the father of modern Christianity, of the Reformation, and I'm speaking of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, in his zeal, was attempting to convert Jewish people to Christianity, and unfortunately, they weren't responding. So he went from being kind of nice to not being so nice, and he wrote a booklet, which actually, if you're interested, you can actually find it online and download it, which I did. The book is called, it's a little booklet, it's called On the Jews and Their Lies, okay? This is Martin Luther. Listen to what he says. What then shall we Christians do with this damn rejected race of Jews? Since they live among us and we know about their lying and blasphemy and cursing, we cannot tolerate them if we do not wish to share in their lies, curses, and blasphemy. In this way, we cannot quench the inextinguishable fire of divine rage nor convert the Jews. We must prayerfully and reverentially practice a merciful severity. Perhaps we may save a few from the fire and flames of hell. We must not seek vengeance. They are surely being punished 1,000 times more than we might wish them. Let me give you my honest advice. Here's Martin Luther's advice. First, their synagogue should be set on fire, and whatever does not burn up should be covered or spread over with dirt so that no one may ever be able to see a cinder or stone of it. And this ought to be done for the honor of God and of Christianity, in order that God may see that we are Christians, and that we have not wittingly tolerated or approved of such public lying, cursing, blaspheming of his Son and his Christians. Secondly, their homes should likewise be broken down and destroyed, for they perpetrate the same things there that they do in their synagogues. For this reason, they ought to be put under one roof or in a stable like gypsies, in order that they may realize that they are not masters in our land, as they boast, but miserable captives, as they complain of incessantly before God with bitter wailing. Thirdly, they should be deprived of their prayer books and Talmuds, in which such idolatry, lies, cursing, and blasphemy are taught. Fourthly, their rabbis must be forbidden under threat of death to teach anymore. Fifthly, passport and traveling privileges should be absolutely forbidden to the Jews, for they have no business in the rural districts, since they are not nobles, nor officials, nor merchants, nor the like. Let them stay at home. If you princes and nobles do not close the road legally to such exploiters, then some troop ought to ride against them, for they will learn from this pamphlet what the Jews are and how to handle them, and they ought not to be protected. You ought not, you cannot protect them, unless in the eyes of God you want to share all their abominations. To sum up, dear princes and nobles who have Jews in your domains, if this advice of mine does not suit you, then find a better one, so that you and we may be free of this insufferable, devilish burden, the Jews. Let the government deal with them in this respect, as I have suggested. But whether the government acts or not, let everyone at least be guided by his own conscience and form for himself a definition or image of a Jew. When you lay eyes on or think of a Jew, you must say to yourself, alas, the mouth which I there behold has cursed and execrated and maligned every Saturday my dear Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed me with his precious blood. In addition, it prayed and pleaded before God that I, my wife, and children, and all Christians might be stabbed to death and perish miserably, and he himself would gladly do this if he were able, in order to appropriate our goods. Such a desperate, thoroughly evil, poisonous, and devilish lot are these Jews, who for the 1400 years have been and still are our plague, our pestilence, and our misfortune. I have read and heard many stories about the Jews which agree with this judgment of Christ, namely how they have poisoned wells, made assassinations, kidnapped children, as related before. I have heard that one Jew sent another Jew, and this by means of a Christian, a pot of blood, together with a barrel of wine in which they drunk empty, a dead Jew was found. There are many other similar stories. For their kidnapping of children, they have been burned at the stake or banished, as we have already heard. I am well aware that they deny all of this. However, it all coincides with the judgment of Christ, which declares that they are venomous, bitter, vindictive, tricky serpents, assassins, and children of the devil, who sting and work harm stealthily wherever they cannot do it openly. For this reason, I would like to see them where there are no Christians. The Turks and other heathen do not tolerate what we Christians endure from these venomous serpents and young devils. Next to the devil, a Christian has no more bitter and galling foe than a Jew. There is no other to whom we accord as many benefactions and from whom we suffer as many as we do these base children of the devil and this brood of vipers. What do you think of that? We've been in synagogue services. I never heard Jewish people say that they should stab Christians. You know, the really awful thing about this is there was one man, a leader of a country, who took what Martin Luther said and actually enacted on it. Anybody have any idea who that was? Hitler, Adolf Hitler. He did exactly what Martin Luther said to do. And it's terrible. So these church fathers, these church leaders, have caused problems between Christians and Jews, Jewish people. And that is why Bridges for Peace exists. I mean, this is one reason why. But that foundation was laid by these church fathers. And as I said, that, you know, it's very subtle. You won't see people saying these things, but there's a very subtle anti-Semitism that exists. And that's a very unfortunate, you know. But the Bible is very, very clear that God has a plan for the world, right? It is also a record of God executing that plan. And there is no question from the Bible that the Jewish people are integral to that plan. You know what the word integral means? Necessary to make a whole complete, essential, or fundamentals. To quote the X-Files, who are our X-Files fans here? Yay, a few of you, yeah. The truth is in there. The truth is in there. You just have to read it and see for yourself. It's in black and white, you know. You can read it and see. So I'm going to have Laura come up, and she's going to share some things with you, and then I'll come back and I'll talk about the projects. And I didn't mean to be so negative with these things, but I think it's important that we know, because we're not taught these things. Laura and I had church history at Moody Bible Institute. These things were never mentioned, ever. But they need to be mentioned. Unfortunately, they were never mentioned. You don't know about these things, but they exist. Thank you.
There I am. Oh, there I am. Okay. Brought myself a snack in case I get weak. No, I'm just kidding. There is a place for that, though. So, it's good to be here on a Sunday morning and to see you. I miss seeing you. It's been my great privilege for over a year now to be here on Wednesday evenings, almost every Wednesday evening, working with the youth here at Eastgate. And it's been a real pleasure for me because I've been able to apply my passion for God's word and my love of teaching. So I want to just thank you. Nikki and Henny have asked me to be involved in that way, and I just want to thank them. I know Nikki had to work really late yesterday, everybody rushing to get their school supplies last minute because school starts tomorrow, and she had a rough night, I understand. And but they are glad to have me involved with the youth, and it's been a real pleasure for me to work with the young people here and some others that visit from the area every Wednesday night. And a couple of weeks ago, here on a Wednesday, I used a sweet illustration. How many of you enjoy a Reese's peanut butter cup? It's a pretty good one, isn't it? Okay. Okay, to enjoy a Reese's peanut butter cup, you cannot just like the chocolate, right? Nor can you enjoy it if you just like the peanut butter. And most of you in here, I think you know, you remember the commercial, right? Hey, you got your peanut butter on my chocolate. I actually showed that video. It was hilarious. It's like so old. I'm like, was I alive then? That old guy, you know, you got your peanut butter on my chocolate. Because he fell down the stairs and his chocolate bar went into the peanut butter jar. The little kid says, you got your peanut butter in my chocolate. And then it goes, Reese's peanut butter cup, right? So since then, you know, it's like, what a discovery. It's a good thing. So Tony just said, right before I came up, that Israel is integral, essential, and fundamental to the plan of God. So using my illustration here of the Reese's peanut butter cup, let's say that the nations, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people in the world, let's say that the nations, that includes you and me, unless you're a Jewish person, we are the chocolate. We are the chocolate. And we fell into the peanut butter jar. The nations are the chocolate, and Israel is the peanut butter. God loves them both, but his favorite is the peanut butter cup. God loves us both. He loves Israel, the peanut butter. And he loves the nations, the chocolate. And he loves us together. And we're really good together, just like chocolate and peanut butter are really good together in a peanut butter cup. On the inside of that chocolate casing is that yummy peanut butter. And together it makes a delicious treat. Yesterday when I asked Tony to pick this up, he goes, you know, I like it when you come up with these illustrations because then we get peanut butter cups. So what am I saying? What am I saying? We worship the God of Israel. The church worships the God of Israel. There is no other God. This is something I've been having the privilege of teaching the kids here, the youth here, every Wednesday night, is we've been learning about that. There is no other God. There is one true God, and he is the God of Jacob. I requested that we sing that song today, Give Us Clean Hands. So didn't we just sing that this morning? We sang, let us be the generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. The God of Jacob is the God of Israel. I don't know if you ever really realize that when we're singing that song, the God of Jacob. Well, what does that mean? If you have your Bibles, I would ask you, if you would please turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 30. Jacob, remember, he was running scared from his brother Esau, ran away, and then on his way back, he's scared because Jacob stole the blessing from his brother Esau, and he was scared of Esau. Is Esau going to kill me? He's thinking. I'm sure he hates me because I stole his blessing, and I made up a story that I was him, and I lied, and old age, got to turn on my glasses here. He was afraid on his way back. So he was asking God for help. And in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 32, it says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he, when the man saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, the man touched the socket of Jacob's thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with the man. Then Jacob said, let me go. Or the man said, let me go, for dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So Jacob said to the man, what is your name? Or no, I keep getting this mixed up. So he said to him. So the man said to Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. The man said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with man and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked the man and said, please tell me your name. But he said, what is it that you ask my name? Why is it that you ask my name? And the man blessed Jacob there. So Jacob named that place Peniel. Peniel, which means face of God. For he said, I have seen face to face God, yet my life has been preserved. So there is where, from that song we say, we worship the God of Jacob. That's where we get this from. Jacob is actually Israel. The one true God is the God of Israel, the God of Jacob. God showed himself to Jacob, renames him Israel, and he became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. One of them being Judah, and from Judah came our Savior Jesus. So we worship the God of Israel. So now how did we come to God? How did we come to the God of Israel? Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, we came by grace through faith. Further, he says in verses 11 through 15 in Ephesians 2, he said, remember that you, the nations, that's us, unless you're Jewish, he said, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now he himself made the two, Israel and the nations who believe, into one. One new man. The peanut butter cup. We are one new man. Okay, so that's how we came to Israel. But when now, when is it more than ever the time to be that generation who seeks for God? I mean, maybe every generation asks that question. But is it not now? Is this not when we should be that generation who seeks the face of the God of Jacob, the God of Israel? In our day, Israel is once again on the map of the world. But many nations and unbelievers, people that don't believe in the God of Israel, they want to erase Israel from the map of the world through war, literal battles, and war through words, through lies, through rules and regulations, through bad media, bad reporting. So let us, together with the Jewish people, because we worship the God of Israel, they worship God, we worship God, we've been grafted in. For several months, we had up on the wall over there in the corner, it was last year actually, before the furnace came on and blew it off, we had a tree made out of paper on the wall for the youth. And it showed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of the nation of Israel, down at the bottom. They were the roots. And then it showed the trunk of the tree. And then it showed the branches going out, like the 12 tribes of Israel. And then it showed these little twiglets going off to the side, the little branches. And I had each name of the youth up there in my name, because we've been grafted in. We just looked at that in Ephesians 2. In Jesus, we Gentiles have been grafted into those covenants of promise from God that we will be redeemed. We wait for a Jewish Messiah, not a Gentile Messiah. And he's not coming back to New York. He's coming back to Jerusalem. Isn't he? So we've talked about what and how and when and now why. Why declare our worship for the God of Israel? There's many reasons, but that the world may know him, the one true God. Israel and the nations come to know God through the faithfulness of God. If you look in Scripture, if you're a Bible student and you love to read through the Scripture, you'll see over and over again that then when there were tests and trials and is God going to come through? He did. Every time. Even when Israel strayed away, he was faithful to do what he said he would do when they strayed. He's faithful, constantly faithful. We declare our worship to God because he's faithful to send the Savior to us, the nations. We worship him. We declare our worship to the God of Israel because he's a faithful God. He's faithful to his word. He never fails to do what he said he would do. I told the youth here on Wednesday night, one of my favorite Bible stories is the story of Jonah. Jonah the prophet. So I just want to quickly tell that story. We call it Jonah and the whale, don't we? I really think it should be called Jonah and the nations. It shouldn't be called Jonah and the whale. The fish, it's not really a whale, actually. Could have been a whale. But the fish has kind of a little role, really, in the story. If you read it again, I challenge you to read the story again. It kind of just serves as a taxi. If you think about it, if you have a big thing you have to do, right, and you're not taking your car, you're just going to call a taxi. I'll just call a cab and have them take me. Is that like the biggest thing you think about when you get to your event? Do you think about the cab? Wow, is that a cool cab. Man, that was a great ride, you know. Now I forgot what I was going to say here at this thing I was supposed to go to because it was such a great ride. You don't think about the taxi. The taxi was how God got Jonah back on the road he was supposed to be on. What was Jonah supposed to be doing? He was a Jewish prophet. He was supposed to go to the nations that need to know who the one true God is because they weren't worshiping the one true God, and they were tempting Israel to not worship the one true God. And God said, Jonah, you need to go tell them to cut that out. You need to go to Nineveh and tell them, repent. He said, I'm not doing that. Booked a ticket on a ship, go to Tarshish. I'm not listening to God. I don't want to tell the Gentiles about God. I don't want to tell them to repent. I want God to get them. I don't like what they're doing. I'm not doing that, God. So he gets on the ship and he's leaving. And, well, who's the one true God? The God of Israel. He told Jonah to do something. Jonah said no. You think God's okay with that? Of course not. So God sends a storm. And the guys on the ship, they're not Jewish. Jonah, he's downstairs. sleeping during a storm. It says in the book of Jonah that he told them that he didn't do what God said. He told them that he ran away on the boat. They already knew it. So they're up there wide awake, terrified, throwing stuff overboard, crying out to their false gods, saying, God of the ocean, help, save us. Don't let us drown. Don't let our ship fall apart out here in the middle of nowhere and die. Let it cause us to die. Help us, help us. Their gods weren't listening. Why? Because they're not real. They're not the true God. Jonah's down there, and they said, well, remember, he told us he was running away from his God. Maybe his God can save us. So they went down there, and they, would you get up? Get up here. Pray to your God? What's the deal? Pray to your God, and maybe he'll get us out of here. Who is your God? Jonah says, my God is the God of the heavens, the land, and the sea. That he's the creator. He's the God of everything. He's the one true God. That's what Jonah was telling him. That's what he was supposed to tell him in the first place. So they said, well, pray to him and help us out here. We're going to die. You too. He said, just throw me in the ocean, and then it'll stop the storm. Oh, brat. He'd rather die than go to Nineveh to tell them to stop worshiping false gods. So as soon as they threw him in, read it for yourself. The ocean went calm. And then the fish shows up. He was supposed to tell the nations about who the one true God is. I love that story. The Jonah and the nations. Not Jonah and the whale. So the conclusion from that story was that the nations came to know who God was. It says they worshiped him. They worship the one true God. That was Jonah's mission, to tell the nations who the one true God was. They worship God right there on the ship and offered a sacrifice to God. I don't know what that was. Did they have chickens or goats or something on the boat for when they were on their way? I don't know what they did, but they sacrificed to God, the one true God, right there. So now they knew who he was. And then Nineveh is still in the news today. That's where he was supposed to go. It's ancient ruins, though. They're connected to the modern city of Mosul, Iraq. You hear about that city in the news, Mosul? In 2014, ISIS, we all know who they are, right? People who worship a false god, they blew up Jonah's tomb. The prophet Jonah has been in Mosul for at least venerated there in Mosul by Christians and Muslims for hundreds and hundreds of years. For many, many centuries, Jonah's tomb was right there in Nineveh, the ruins of Nineveh, right by Mosul, Iraq. In 2014, ISIS blew it up. And since 2014, ISIS has systematically eliminated, through torture and death, 82% of Iraq's Christian community. And if you're following the news, Israel and the Jewish people are in the crosshairs of ISIS. Israel is next. God-fearing Christians and Jewish people are together. ISIS is killing us in Iraq. And ISIS is wanting to kill the Jews in Israel and wherever else they can find them. And we've heard in the news they have been. You know, they're killing Jewish people in France, threatening them in the UK. Together, Christians in some parts of the world are suffering, just like the Jewish people are suffering. And together with the Jewish people, we Christians are hoping for salvation from the God of Israel, the one true God. Together with them. That's why it's such a privilege to be a part of Bridges for Peace, a Christian organization that is together with the Jewish people. So I conclude with who. And then I will turn it back over to Tony. I know that in proper speech you say who, what, when, where, why. But I did it what, how, when, why, who. Say that again. I did what, how, when, why, and who. The who on the front lines for the people of Israel is Bridges for Peace. There are many others, but that's who we are with and very, very happy to be with Bridges for Peace on the front lines. And we thank you, Eastgate, for your support of our work. And there's many things we could tell you about what we're doing, and Tony may tell you some more things that we can talk with you afterwards if you would like. But Bridges for Peace is a Matthew 25 ministry. Matthew 25 is Jesus talking about a time coming. I actually think we're in it. We're in it. Where is he coming back to? Where is he going to put his foot down? Yes, in Jerusalem, but specifically where? The Mount of Olives. Okay, the other day I was studying for today, and I was looking at that passage in Matthew 24, and it says Jesus was sitting. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives. He had just come out of the temple area with his disciples, and they said, when are you going to set up your kingdom? And what's going to be the sign of all this? And then he starts talking about wars and famines and ethnic groups fighting against ethnic groups and Jewish people being chased out of their homes into hiding and being threatened by the nations that don't believe in the one true God. When he comes back, he's not going to be sitting on the Mount of Olives. His foot will touch down on the Mount of Olives, and he will be the King of Kings, the Lion of Judah, bringing justice to the nations that scattered God's people and divided up his land, so says the prophet Joel. But Jesus goes on in Matthew 25, and he says, I was in prison. I was hungry. I was naked. I was thirsty. And you gave me a drink. You came to visit me. You clothed me. You fed me. And some said, well, when did we do that? I don't remember doing that to you, Lord. And he said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren. Who are his brethren? The Jewish people. When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me.
Thank you, Laura. She did an excellent job, didn't she? Yeah. So we've looked at a number of things, and I talked about education, which is our first arm, to inform in the church about the truth about Israel from the scriptures and from history. But it's got to be more than that. You know, so many people say, oh, I love Israel. I support Israel. We stand with Israel. Well, prove it, right? So that's what we try to do, is prove it by our practical deeds. In other words, the old cliche, put your money where your mouth is, right? So we have a number of projects in Israel. By the way, we have been in Israel, in Jerusalem, in Israel for 50 years, serving and blessing the Jewish people. And there are a number of things we do. This brochure actually lists all of the projects. I just want to highlight a few of them, and you could see more about it there. You can take one of these brochures back there. But some of the big ones, the food banks is a huge one. We have two food banks, which Laura and I got to visit when we were in Israel in 2013. There's one in Jerusalem, and there's one in Carmel. You know Carmel? Carmel, Mount Carmel? What happened at Mount Carmel? Elijah and the prophets of Baal, right? We actually, what? What? Yes, false god. We saw that mountain. Isn't that cool? Elijah wasn't there, though. I think he was on lunch. But we saw those food banks. And through those two food banks, we feed anywhere between 26,000 and 28,000 Israelis a month. Now, you see, most of Israel, the government of Israel's budget goes for what? Can you guess? Defense, exactly. So there are a lot of poor people, a lot of immigrants who come in who need help and assistance. So we have these two food banks. And the one in Carmel keeps on hand at all times 500 tons of food. And this food, by the way, is purchased locally on the local economy. So it's another way we're supporting Israel. But we keep 500 tons of food on hand in the event of war or natural disasters. We can't get to our suppliers. We still have the food to give to the people. And the volunteers who go over to Israel, who volunteer, that's what they do. They put together these food baskets, and they take them to the communities that where we deliver them and serve. So we have these two food banks, 28,000 people a month. We have a Feed a Child program. There are 450 kids on this right now who get a hot lunch
at school, and books and backpacks, we supply that. Just recently, we provided 2 fully equipped ambulances for Magen David Adam, which is the Israeli branch of the American Red Cross. It goes out. Do you know how much one of those ambulances costs? A fully equipped ambulance with all the necessary medical equipment on it? About $100,000. So 2 of those were provided. We've provided food shelters. We have we help new immigrants who come in. Up to date, we have helped over almost 55,000 Jewish people immigrate to Israel. We help them with their ground transportation, with their visas, and all of that stuff. And when they get there, we give them food, of course. We give them starter packs like kitchen supplies and stuff. We help them get established. So we're doing practical things to say yes. You know, though true Christians who really know the scriptures and who love the Lord don't do the things that we heard about from these other guys. We want to show you that we really love you, and we're doing these things. We have Project Tikva, soup kitchens, Save an Israeli Life, Immigrant Welcome Kit, I already mentioned, Cheer Baskets, Home Repair. We have guys who are over there volunteering, go and fix homes, install handrails, fix toilets, all kinds of stuff like that. Just all kinds of practical deeds. We help victims of war, those who have been touched by terrorism, and there's many other ones. And it speaks volumes. And because we have been there for 50 years and we do these things, we have an excellent reputation with the Israeli government. They trust us. And they know that we do what we say we're going to do. And we have no ulterior motives. So if you today look at this and you see these projects and they're listed there and you would like to donate money to help these projects, because all of the money that for these projects comes from Christian donors. And that's what we want to do. We want to say, as Christians, we're showing you that we love you. We're supporting you. We're not just saying it. We're doing it. You can do that if you would like to do that today. We have our famous blue bag here, which will be on the back table. If you'd like to put some cash in there, you could fill out one of these. Or if you want to write a check, make it out to Bridges for Peace. It'll be on the back table. You could drop the donation in there. Laura wants to say something.
Something about this blue bag. This is exactly what it looks like over in Israel when they come in and need food. We fill this up with food from the local economy for a new immigrant from Russia, Ukraine, Argentina. They need food for their family. And we fill this up, and they take this home. So these are all over Israel. So this is an example, and you can put your gift in here today, and it can go directly for that.
Sorry. Basically, that's it. We'll be at the back table if you have any questions and you're interested in any of the literature. Please come back there and talk to us. And I'm going to ask Laura to close us in prayer. I thank you for your attention. Thank you for your support. I wish we had time also to go over the stuff that's going on in Chicago. There's a lot of things that are happening. Laura and I are very involved in the community there. We've become, I'll just tell you this one thing. And then I'll give it to her. Let me back up. Who knows who Woody Allen is? Yeah. And he's a filmmaker, right? Very famous filmmaker. What did he do before he made films? He was a comedian, a stand-up comedian. And one of the things he said once in one of his routines that I love, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. It's funny. But he said 80% of success is showing up. Now you think about that. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. Who cares? But that's what we do. We show up in the Jewish community. Laura and I were actually doing that before we got connected with Bridges for Peace, making relationships. And one of the times we showed up for the Jewish festival wound up making connections with us with a group called ADSI. ADSI is an acronym for Association of Descendants of the Shoah, Illinois. Anybody know what the Shoah is? It's the Hebrew word that means disaster, and it's those who are descendants of people who were in the Holocaust. So these are people whose parents, grandparents were in the Holocaust. We wound up getting very involved with, becoming very good friends with a man by the name of Larry Schwartz, who is the president of ADSI. He actually just texted me this morning. He wants to talk to me about something, and Larry is a huge supporter of Bridges for Peace. He loves what we're doing. We go in there for all their events. And we're working together with Larry to do things to benefit the Jewish community. We're in the process. We've got plans that we're working on. But, of course, a lot of these things take a lot of time. And I don't have time to go into the details of that. But it's really exciting because we've been very involved over there with ADSI and other organizations. So God is moving in Chicago and is using Laura and I to help with these connections of building bridges with the Jewish community. Because when we tell them about Bridges for Peace and what Bridges for Peace does, they are so grateful. They are so incredibly grateful. And they say, is there more people like you? There should be more like you, Christians who are supporting Israel. And we tell them about the projects and about the education. And they know about the other stuff that I shared this morning. They're very aware of that. But we tell them what we're doing. And that just, they're amazed. They can't believe it. So, Laura, would you please come up and close us? Thank you.
So thank you for coming, and thank you for your attention. And thank you again for your support. And I just want to remind you that these great publications, there's on the left-hand side there, they are free for you to take today, the teaching letter and the dispatch from Jerusalem. And not only can you take these free today, but you can sign up to get them. So, Tony, why don't you take one of these cards? We'll hold it up and wave it back there. Please, meet Tony and I at the back. Don't shoot out the door and disappear. Take the time to sign up for this and give us the card. Because this teaching is excellent. This one I'm holding up today is back there, and it's kind of like what I was talking about today, the nations and in end time prophecy, the role that the Gentile nations have in Jesus coming back for you and me, putting his foot down on the Mount of Olives. The nations have a role in it, and there's an excellent teaching letter back there that I want you to take home and read and be turned on, excited about the time in which you live. So meet Tony and I in the back. Fill this card out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you so much for eternal life. Thank you so much. We will thank you forever that you grafted us in to so great a salvation that we here today from the nations who follow Jesus, who have been grafted in to the covenants of promise that mean salvation, that mean forgiveness, that mean eternal life. We thank you. And we thank you for the privilege today to have an opportunity to be involved in this wonderful organization, Bridges for Peace, where we can take the past and erase some of that. Some of the past that has hurt your people, Israel. Jesus, your brethren have been put in prison. Your brethren have been starved. Your brethren have been murdered. In your name, Jesus, they have been murdered. We are so sorry, Jesus. And Bridges for Peace wants to change the Jewish people's view of Christians, of followers of you, Jesus. We want to be followers that show love for your brethren, not hate. And we do not want them to suffer. We want to help them, and we want them to know that we love them. And we thank you for Bridges for Peace. And I pray for each one here today to do their part, that you would put on their heart what they should do. Should they study? Should they give? Should they go? Should they volunteer? Should they take a step of faith and say, I want to go volunteer in Israel. I want to meet an Israeli. I want to meet an immigrant from Russia. And I want to say, welcome home to Israel. And I want them to know that I'm there to help them. Father, do great things today for these that have come. And bless them for today, blessing your people. And we pray in the name of Jesus, through whom all things are possible, through whom all things are yes and amen. And we wait for him as we wait for him to to return to complete our salvation and the restoration of all things. We pray in his name. Amen.